Permission, before we start, I wanted to share with you a drasha of my father's, on Parshas Vayishlach, because even though it was written many, many, many years ago, probably half a century ago, I still find it very, very contemporary. He starts by telling a story of a conversation that he had with one of his balabatim over the summer. In that particular year, it was a successful businessman. And during the course of this conversation, this individual starts reminiscing about his childhood with a great deal of nostalgia. And he speaks about the shtetl that he was born in Eastern Europe. There was a lump in his throat, a tear in his eye when he spoke of his father, who was a Talmud Chacham, who was a learned Jew, sincere Jew, his mother, who was a revered Eishes Chayil, a woman respected for her tzniyus, her modesty, her piety. She was beloved by all for her kindness and helpfulness. Ah, he says, how I drifted away from that kind of life. The non-Jewish environment that I have had to live in here in the USA, and the business jungle that I've entered into and have to contend with the many demands on me, I had to yield most of the cherished observances and ideals that were taught to me in the home and in the cheder back in the old country. So my father says, I made a remark that his excuse was not very convincing. You know, when he spoke about being in the business jungle and having to deal with the goyim. The man was very disappointed. Rabbi, he said, you did not seem to appreciate the pressures that I had to face when I came into this strange land as a young man. And I remember when I studied Chumash as a child back in the old country, I was taught that even Yaakov had to make concessions to Esav when he had to deal with and live with Esav. It was Esav who dominated the scene. It was Yaakov who did the bending, the bowing, and the yielding. His reference, of course, was to the incident described in this week's parasha, which relates how Yaakov Avinu went out of his way to appease his brother Esav. And in Perek Lamed Beis of Sefer Bereishis, it says that Yaakov Avinu took of that which he had, that which came into his hand, and he sent it as a present for Esav, his brother. For he said, I will appease him, and with this present that goeth forth from me, I will see his face, perhaps he will receive me kindly. Looking at this gentleman who was pleased with himself that after all these years he was still able to quote a text in support of his laxity and backsliding, I thought of the familiar adage that a little knowledge is a dangerous thing. Had the man taken the time and the trouble to check closely at the story of the Chumash, he would have reached the very opposite conclusion. And would see in that incident an indictment of his conduct as a Jew. Sure, Yaakov was willing to give to Esav, but what did he give to Esav? What did he send to Esav? He sent him rams, goats, camels, material things, which the Av, Yaakov Avinu, had earned with the labor of his hands and the sweat of his brow. But he did not yield on any of his convictions, or change his mode of life in order to ingratiate himself in the eyes of Esav. Rashi stresses this point in his comment on the phrase min haba biyado. He sent to Esav from that which he had come into his hand. Says Rashi, this refers to precious stones and pearls which a person binds in a bundle, carries them in his hand. Dovar Acher, another interpretation, he gave Esav min hachulin, of the profane and unconsecrated things. Yaakov did not hesitate to give money, jewels, cattle, as a price for the goodwill of Esav. He parted with things that passed from hand to hand, items that belonged to someone on one day, to another person on the next day. Here are my sheep and my camels, Yaakov said. Take my jewels, take my precious stones. They're profane items that can be replaced. But my heart, my soul, my brain, my neshama, my faith are sacred to me, and I will not part from them until the very last breath. in this life. This is the legacy that Yaakov left to his children. He instructed the bearers of the gifts, when Esau, my brother, will meet thee and ask thee, saying, whose art thou? Where art thou going? And for whom are these before thee? Then shall you say, they belong to thy servant Yaakov. It is a present sent to Adoni Esau. I see in these words of Yaakov an instruction to his descendants. If Esau and all who represent Esau will confront you with the question, Lemi ata v'anatolech ulemi elu lefanecha, to whom do you belong? What is your destination? To whom do you send all these things? Your answer should be, Mincha hi shlucha li Esau. It's a gift sent to Esau. We worked hard for it. We earned it honestly. But we're willing to give it to you and give it up to you if that will satisfy the demands that you will make upon us. But as to the question, Lemiata, the Anatolich, to whom do we belong? And what is our goal in life? We wish to make it very clear that we, our hearts and our souls, belong to no one but to Yaakov, and our ultimate destiny is to return to our ancient home. This was the legacy of Yaakov, and it's not limited to one generation. As the Pasuk said, and so he commanded the second and the third, all the droves that followed. Yaakov ordered every succeeding generation of his descendants to emulate this example. Jews may have bowed down in Poland to the uncouth parents, and in Russia to an officer of the army and to the police. They had to give up their hard-earned possessions to those vicious Esavs of all the generations. They yielded on everything. They came under the heading of chulin, of profane and material. But when the same nemesis ordered them to violate the Shabbos, to eat non-kosher food, they would not permit themselves to violate the Torah. They would be totally dedicated, even if it meant incarceration, or even to be flogged to death, rather than comply. When the question of kodshim, of sacred matters, was involved, the seeming cowards surprised their enemies with an unusual exhibition of courage and heroism. What a different picture the full knowledge of the text reveals. What a difference there was between the true meaning of the story of Yaakov and Esau and what my companions saw in it. The fact is that by imputing wrong motives to Yaakov, my friend found justification for his own deviations, his own backsliding. With him, sheep and goats and camels, all that is mundane, were of primary significance. What he wouldn't do to protect them. He would fight like the lion if the union would demand an increase in the wage scale or shortening of the hours of employees. But he would never put up even a semblance of struggle to observe the Shabbos or the Yontif, or to prepare his children, provide his children with a yeshiva education. To him, kodshim was chulin, and chulin was kodshim. But to sell kodshim for the right for chulin, that's, my gentlemen, that is typical of, unfortunately, so many Jews in America, Jewish life in America. The least discrimination in the commercial area arouses us to a concerted action. And this is as it should be. We have a right to protect our hard-won rights. But look how we squander the sacred possessions of all the ages. And at that time when the Esavs, and a time when the Esavs of today did not demand us to renounce our holy faith. On the contrary, a Jew is respected in non-Jewish quarters for remaining true to the tenets of Judaism. Let us therefore resolve ourselves to shield and protect that which is kodshim, that which is cherished, that which is sacred, the treasures and the legacy of Yaakov Avinu, and be willing, if necessary, to forgo chulin for that purpose. I just wanted to share that with you. I thought so many decades ago, and yet so rings so familiar today.
Okay. Rav's got a bunch of the his father's drashas.
Yeah, my father published two books, and left boxes full of writings. Out of those writings, I produced a sefer in Hebrew, which I think you know about, Dovei Meisharim. It's on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, 53 essays. There's a wealth of material. I mean, nobody in my family has the time to put into it. But now, for Parshas Vayishlach, of course, the confrontation between Yaakov Avinu and the angel, which is called in Chazal the Sorrow Shel Esav, a confrontation which terminates in the success of Yaakov Avinu in defeating the Sorrow Shel Esav. Vayivaser Yaakov Levado, Vayovek Ish Imo, Ad Alos HaShachar. Vayar kilo yocholo, vayiga bekaf yerecho, vatokav kaf yerech Yaakov behevko imo, vayomer. So the Sorah Shel Esav turns to Yaakov, shalcheni ki ola shachar, vayomer lo ashalcha ki im berachtani. I want a bracha first. Vayivarecho so shom. Says Rashi, what's the significance of that bracha? Hodolo. Al habrachos shevirchani avi, please, I'm asking of you to forgive me for taking the brachos, to confess that those brachos really belong to me, and cease being ma'ar aleihem, and cease claiming that those brachos belong to you. The source for this Rashi is a medrash. Rashi quotes a Medrash in his own words. The Medrash says, Sorrow Shel Esav Hoya, that anonymous, very scary looking figure that battled and confronted Yaakov through the night was none other than the Sar Shel Esav. And the Medrash Tanchum embellishes this and says, who was the Sar Shel Esav? Vayirovek Ish Imo, who was this Ish? Ze Samoel Sorrow Shel Esav. So the Malach or the Sar of Esav is called Samoel. And Chazal in the Gemara Baba Basra identifies Samoel as the Yetzer Hara, as the Malach HaMoves, as the Nochash HaKadmoni, as the Satan. All these are the essential qualities of Esav, whose Sar, whose Malach is Samoel. And the Gemara tells us in the Masechet Chulin, Vayovek Ish Imo, Melamed Shehelu Avak Miraglosam Ad Kisei HaKavod. Now, what that means is that the dust of the earth flew up as a result of this boxing match, this wrestling match, all the way to the Kisei HaKavod. Now, if we take that literally, how do we understand this? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is occupying the Kisei HaKavod. That's not a physical entity. That's not limited in space and in time. That's an endless, infinite spiritual world. So how could the Avak, how could this dust fly up to the Kisei HaKavod? There must be some remez, some deeper meaning in the concept of Avak, of this spiritual kind of Avak, that the Sar Shel Esav and Yaakov in their battle together lift up this spirituality that reaches all the way to the Kisei HaKavod. So our question for today is on the word Avak. Vayavek miloshon Avak ish imo, and the Gemara says, Malamit shehelu Avak ad Kisei HaKavod. What is this Avak and what does it symbolize? We'll begin with the commentary on Agadita of the Ben Ish Chai, which is called the Ben Yehoyada, there in Masechet Chulin, Melamed Shehelu Avak Ad Kisei HaKavod. And he says the following. This Maimar of Chazal reveals a very deep secret and should not be understood on a simple level. We know that there's something called a Sitra Achra. There's something called a powerful force that tries to set up barriers and prevent us from fulfilling and implementing the will of God. That's called an avak. And we're going to see that the word avak has two meanings to it. On the one end, on one polar extreme, it's the avak of the sitra achra, a destructive force. On the other hand, on the other extreme, there's an avak of kedusha, of sanctity. And this is based on the principle formulated by Shlomo Melech in Kohelet, Zelu Maaseh Os Elokim. Everything has its polar opposites. There's kedusha and there's tumah. Yaakov Avinu was able with his power to raise the avak of kedusha, and that would overwhelm the avak of Esav, which was the avak of tumah. And so says the Ben Yoda, this is a major battle that's going to have repercussions throughout all of history. Because at the end of the day, Yaakov Avinu, through his avak, was able to overcome and overwhelm the avak of Esav. And so the avak of Kedusha wins in this battle against the avak of Tumah. And this is what the Pasuk wants to tell us when it says, Ve'yovek ish imo. On that very important night, the avak of Kedusha won the battle and overwhelmed the avak of Esav. And then there's the Kisei HaKavod. The Kisei HaKavod is the ultimate goal of our service to Hashem. And Yaakov Avinu is able to defeat his enemy, the Sarashal Esav, with the Koach, the power of his Kedusha. And that will reach up all the way to the Tachlis, to the ultimate goal of eternity, which is called the Kisei HaKavod. And the Ben Yoda finishes up his presentation by saying the following, Vim Tirtza Ladas, Malas HaTikun Vabir Shosa Yaakov Avinu Lava Sholom Bazeh, Lechna Ure'e Mashomer Raboseinu Vimedju Shir Hashirim, Mi Zos Olam In Amidbar Ketimros Oshan, Mekuteres Mar Ulevona Mikol Avkas Rochel. What is Avkas Rochel? Again, the word Avak, the secret password, says the Medrash in Shir HaShirim. Mekuteres Mar is an allusion to Avram Avinu, because Avram Avinu is like the Mar. The Mar is the most outstanding of all the spices. And Avram Avinu is the Rosh, is the head of all the tzaddikim. The pasuk here in Shir HaShirim goes on to describe Levona. Levona is a reference to Avram Avinu, to Yitzchak Avinu. Sheniskarev, niskarev means he was brought as a korban. Kekomets Levona al gabi mizbeach. And then we get to the last part of the pasuk. Mikol Avkas Rochel, Zeh Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu is the Avkas Rochel. And the Medrash says, Hoysam itaso shleima lefanov, lo nimtza ben psoles. He gave birth to 12 tribes, the Shvishiftei Kah. The kol arochos she Yisrael osim matzlichim olam hazeh b'zchus oso avak shel Yaakov Avinu. All the success of the Avodas Hashem, of all the generations, all the descendants of Yaakov, are all in merit of that avak of Yaakov Avinu. All the battles and all the challenges that we face as Jews throughout the history of our nation are all b'zchus the avak of Yaakov Avinu. Ki Torah she Yisrael osim b'olam hazeh b'zchus Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu is the pillar of Torah. He's the Ish Tam Yoshev Oholim. And his avak is connected to Torah. And we're going to ask the question, how is that so? But the Ben Yoda finishes up his presentation. He says, Lochein, Habeiturei Kamasod Niskav Yesh Boso Avak. Look at the layers and layers of deep significance that are concealed by this avak. If we reveal the sod, the secret of this avak, which is the tikkun and the birur that will destroy our enemies, the sarosh shel Esav, the avak of tumah. And he says that avak is miloshon ora bracha kedosha, all the great things, the light, the blessings, the sanctity, the aleph, the beis, the kuf of avak. Avak is also the same as chesed kel, which means the great compassion and all the rewards that are bestowed upon us, says the Ben Yoyod, it's all inherent in Avak, and this Avak is going to set up a schus for all the generations of the Jewish nation to succeed in all their battles, all their confrontations. And that's what Avak is all about. So we want to understand on a deeper level, come on, why are we putting so much significance? Why is Chazal pointing us in so many different ways to the Avak of Yaakov Avinu? It seems so insignificant, and yet the emphasis over and over again. Yaakov is called by Shir Shirim Avkas Rochel Al Shem Havak. Yaakov Avinu is Vayavek Ishimo. His Avak is going to go all the way up to the Kisei HaKavod. It's going to accomplish, says the Ben Yoda, the most amazing feat in the world, and that is that his Avak is going to destroy, it's going to be misgaber over the Avak of Sorrow Shal Esav. And that's the success of the Jewish people throughout the generations. That's the Ora, Bracha, and Kiddusha of Avak. And what's it all about? So this presentation, this essay that we're learning today in the Shvilei Pinchas, is going to try to give us an insight, reveal what is this Avak on a deeper level. What are these two categories of Avak? Avak mitzad HaKedusha, that's Yaakov Avinu's Avak, and that confronts the Avak of the Soro Shel Esav, which is an Avak of Klipa, of Tuma, of Satan, of Samael. And this eternal battle, this confrontation between Esav and Yaakov, is really the confrontation between one Avak and the other Avak. And as a result of the success of Yaakov Avinu, says the Medrash in Shir HaShirim, all the success of the Jewish people, all that we accomplish in Torah study in this world, it's all bizchus, that Avak of Yaakov Avinu. And in order to get a grasp on this, we're going to take a time machine back 5 centuries to Reb Shimshon Shapiro, the Megala Amukos. He says, Vayavek ish imo helo Avak ad kisei HaKavod, Ki Samael, the Sarah Shel Esav, represents the Satan, the Yetzirah, the Nachash. Ochaz B'Yaakov, we're going on to page 2 here if you're following me. What was his whole thrust? What was the Sarah Shel Esav? What was his methodology? What was he trying to accomplish? How would he succeed in bringing down Yaakov? That's his goal. And the answer is something called Avak. Now, to understand and appreciate what Avak is in the context of Avodas Hashem, we turn to 2 sources. And this entire essay is a development of those 2 sources. One is a Tosefta Braisa in Masechta Avodah Zarah, and the other is an Agadita in Masechta Ksubis about Rav Huna. And we only know this from the Megala Amukos. He is the one who's going to reveal to us what this Avak is all about. Now, in order to appreciate the Megala Amukos, let's just mention that the Yetzahara has a fascinating approach. You would think, you know, without being too profound about it, that the Yetzahara would go for the jugular. He would try to trip you up in Avodah Zarah, in Gilui Arayos, in Shfichas Damim, you know, all the cardinal sins. No, the Yetzer Hara is too smart for that. He has a much more cunning kind of approach. And to get a grasp on that, and a picture of that, we go to a Gemara that speaks about a person who rips his garments. Why does he rip his garments? Out of a sense of anger. Sometimes a person has to let his anger out, so he starts destroying things. Now, if you rip something on Shabbos, let's say, for example, you're sewing something and there are 2 knots in the beged and you rip it open, that's called Meleches Korea. But Meleches Korea has to be a creative act. So if you're getting rid of these knots, that's okay. What about a case of Korea Begodov Machmas Chamos. So he's so angry that he rips his garments. Is he Chayav Mishum Korea? Or is that considered what we call a Makalkel? So the Gemara says that this is called a Makalkel. Why? Not because he's destroying the Begodim, but because destroying the Begodim is tantamount to Oved Avodah Zarah. Why is that so? So the Gemara says the following: Shabbos Daf Kuf Hei Amid Beis. Kach Umnoso Sheyetzah Hara. This is the approach of the evil inclination. Hayom, today he says to him, you know what? Just rip your garments. I say kach v'kach. Lim Machar. Once you've done that, he brings you to the next level of criminal action, more intense. Acha Omer Lecha Avodah Avodah Zarah V'Holech V'Oved. In other words, the approach to the Yetzer Hara is step by step. He's going to start with the small little things, and that's going to build up, that's going to accumulate until he can get you to violate the Averis Chamuris like Avodah Zarah itself. He's very smart. The Avodah Zarah, at the beginning of the Derech, he says, you know what? You be mezalzel in what is a small, relatively small mitzvah. You know, the Torah says you're not allowed to destroy things. You know, destroy something, okay, so you'll be over baltashas, right? That's a mitzvah kala. But then slowly, step by step, he leads you until he can get you to violate a more serious avera. That's why Ben Azai formulates in the Avos Perek Dad the famous principle that if he rots le mitzvah kala kibar chamura, go for the mitzvah kala. Kala with a kuf means an easy mitzvah. It seems like a secondary mitzvah. But start with that. And that's going to build you up because mitzvah gorer is mitzvah. However, if with regard to the mitzvah kala or an avera kala, you violate that avera gorer is avera, and that's going to be the Yetzer Hara. Start with something small. Says the Megala Mukos, that's avak. The word avak means the so-called small, not so profound, not so strict and serious and weighty avero. Start with something called avak. And that's the method of the Yetzer Hara. Why is the Yetzer Hara particularly interested in tripping up Yaakov Avinu? Because Yaakov Avinu represents the pasuk in Parshas Ekev. It says, Vahaya Ekev Tishmu'un. Rashi says, what is Ekev Tishmu'un? The heel? In Mitzos Kalos, Shadam Doshba Kev of Tishmu'un. Yaakov is the one who is particularly concerned with the Ekev Mitzvos, the Mitzos Kalos, those Mitzvos that appear on our radar screen to be insignificant relatively. Shadam Doshba Kev of. The man steps over these Mitzvos, he thinks they're insignificant. Those are the mitzvos, which we call mitzvos kalos, that represent avak, or are represented by avak. Avak is something insignificant. And here the Megala Mukos quotes the Tosefta in Masechta Avodah Zarah. The Tosefta formulates four categories of avak. And we have to avoid all these four kinds of avak. What are they? Number one, avak ribis. Number two, avak shviz. Number three, avak avodah zarah. And number four, avak lashon hara. And the Tosefta explains, avak shel ribis, lo yisa adam v'yitein bal va'asa shel chavero. He gets involved in trying to calculate how much someone should pay him back for a loan. He hasn't yet charged him ribis, but he's on the way. Avak shvitz. Lo yisa adam v'yitenim avodah zarah b'peros v'bnei avak shvitz. He starts dealing with peros during the shvitz year and calculating and negotiating with an Oved Kochavim how much he's going to pay for his peros. That's already the beginning of violating the iser of schorah b'peros shvitz. That's called avak shvitz. Avak avodah zarah. Lo yisa v'yitenim im ha'oved kochav b'yom edyo. There's a day that commemorates an idolatrous holiday, and the Jew goes ahead and participates in the marketplace on that holiday. He's already on the way to dealing with the Oved Kochavim. He's already backsliding, if you remember what we discussed at the beginning. Avak lashon hara lo yiseh adam V'yitein b'tovasol shel chaver. He starts lauding and praising his friend. And sure enough, somebody's going to say, oh yeah, he's not such a great tzaddik. And they're going to end up with lashon hara. So the word avak, which repeats itself four times in this Tosefta, avak ribis, avak shvius, avak avodah zorah, avak lashon hara, this is the way, says the Megala of Mukos, that the Yetzer Hara, the Satan, tries to carry us in and suck us in, starts making it tempting, and justifying a small, slight violation. That's the avak of Esav. That's the avak that reaches the Kisei HaKavod from Sorosh Shel Esav. Sorosh Shel Esav is the Samael. Sorosh Shel Esav is trying to battle against Yaakov. Yaakov Avinu represents Ekev Tishma'un, the Mitzvos Kalos, Sha'adam Dosh Ba'akevav, and now Esav is going to attack as the Samael, as the Yetzirah does. That approach, don't be careful, says the Yetzirah, about Mitzvos Kalos. Don't worry about violating Avak. This is going to be the avak that goes all the way up to the Kisei HaKavod. And basically, there's a kitrug here. Kitrug means a prosecution against the Jewish people. If we're guilty of violating all these kinds and categories of avak, if we're being mezalzel and mitzvos kalos, then Samuel up on top in the heaven, in the heavenly court, is saying, you know what? Klal Yisrael have violated avak. They're on the way. There's a slip sliding, you know, a deep ravine over here. It's going to be an avalanche, and basically we should now put the Jewish people in this state of guilty, find them guilty as charged of violating avak, which is ultimately going to spiral down until it reaches the lowest level of violating avodah zarah, etc., etc. Says the Megala Mukos, vayar kilo yuchalo, the sorrow shall ace him with all his power of avak and all his orus, his energy to be makachering on Yaakov, and to say that Yaakov Avinu is not careful about Avak, Yaakov Avinu wins out. Lo yuchalo. The Sar Shalesim is not successful. He cannot defeat Yaakov. And why not? Because the sanctity of Yaakov is Ekev. Vaya Ekev Tishmun. His Kedusha, it reaches its level of absolute perfection in his Zahirus, his careful and meticulous observance of all the mitzvahs, kalos kivachamuros. And this is what it means at the beginning of Leidas Yaakov Avinu. The Torah says, V'achrichein yotza achiv, Yaakov is born after Esav, V'yodo ochezes ba'kev Esav, V'yikrishmo Yaakov. God bestows the name Yaakov because Yaakov is ochezes ba'kev Esav. Yaakov understood from the very moment he was born that the power of Esav to bring down the Jewish people, all the descendants of Yaakov, is because the people of Esav, understand that we could be machshil, we should bring the Jewish people down first with mitzvos kalos. So Yaakov Avinu is ochezes b'akev Esav. He grabs onto the akev Esav. Esav thinks it's all his power of kitrug and all his power of yetzer hara against Yaakov is the akev, and Yaakov grabs onto the akev because Yaakov yodo ochezes b'akev Esav, meaning you're not going to let me fall because of akev. I am going to be dedicated and committed to mitzvos kalos kivav chamuros. And then the Sorosh Shel Esav, the Samael, makes one last attempt to try to beat Yaakov. Vayiga v'kaf yarecho. And what that means is that Samael, sometime during the future, this pasuk is foretelling, he will be able to bring down the Jewish people into his net because they will fail in the mitzvahs kalos, shodom dosh be'akovov, vatika Kaf Yerech Yaakov Be'ovek Imo. Again, Be'ovek Imo. That is the measure of success of the Avak of the Sorosh Shel Esav, which is going to come to fruition, unfortunately, tragically, during the future of the Jewish people down the line. And that's Vayiga Be'kaf Yerecho. And now we go to the second Gemara. You remember that the Megala Mukos pointed to a Gemara in Ksubis. This is a classical Agadita. In this case, the story about Rav Huna, the Gemara tells us that in Bavel, The most popular Rosh Hashiva of all time was Rav Huna. Rav Huna used to give the shir in the presence of 800 students that were banging down the doors. It sounds like the Mir Yeshiva in Meir Shearim. They all tried to get in to hear the shir of Rav Huna. There were so many students that Rav Huna had to organize 13 different mitargamim who would serve to take the words of Rav Huna and broadcast them and share them with all of these 800 students. And then the Gemara adds a piece to the story. I would call it almost a postscript to the story. When the students of Rav Huna were ready to stand up and leave the Beis Medrash at the end of the shir, Nafzi Glamayhu. Glima means the coat, the clothing that they wore. And when they got up from their place, because again, keep in mind, they didn't have benches in those days like we have today. They sat on the floor. So what they did was they shook their glima, their clothing, to get rid of the dust. I'm looking for a word. Can anybody help me with that? To shake off the dust, whatever the word is. Now, what happened to the dust of 800 students? I wouldn't have wanted to be there, right? 800 students' dust flying in the air. So the Gemara tells us, again, only an Agadita could give us such information. The Gemara says that when they shook their clothing, all of these 800 students, after sitting on the floor for who knows how many hours, from the Avak rose up, and it actually covered the sun. There was so much Avak. I guess you would call it a partial eclipse, a solar eclipse. Achaya Nikar Livnei Eretz Yisrael Harachoka. From Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, they knew in Eretz Yisrael when the shir of Rav Huna terminated, and then they would make a declaration in Eretz Yisrael. Kamu Atame Yeshiva Shel Rav Huna BeBavel. The people who came to hear the shir in Bavel, in that Masifta of Rav Huna, have stood up at the end of the shir. A very cryptic Agadita. Says the Magala Mukos from Shimshon Shapiro. This Avak of the Talmidim of Rav Huna is the same Avak, again we're not talking physically but symbolically, the same Avak of Yaakov Avinu that rose up to the Kisei HaKavod. Just that in this case, the Avak of the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva in Bavel rose up to Shamayim and could be viewed and could be seen as far as Eretz Yisrael. This is the Avak, says the Megala Mukos, which was able to be Mevatel, the Avak of Samuel, who tried to be Mekatreg and tripped the people of Israel. It means that the Avak that goes up from the Talmidei Chachamim, who are dedicated to the study of Torah, is so significant up in the heavens that it has the power to be Mevatel all the Kitrugim, all the antithetical powers of Samuel the Sar Shel Esav. But for sure, we need to peel off another surface layer and get a little bit deeper and reveal more of the truth here that's below the surface of the Megala Mukos. What is the Avak of the 800 students of Rav Huna? Why is it so significant? Why does it cover the Shemesh? Why is it seen all the way in Eretz Yisrael? And how does that connect to the Avak of the Sar Shel Esav versus the Avak of Yaakov? And here we have to refer to a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. The Mishnah says, "Havi misavek ba'afar raglehem." Again, the word Avak in the afar raglehem. And now we're turning to page 3. If you happen to have it, he says the following: The Avak of the Talmidei Rav Huna, when they got up from their seats after receiving the Torah from their Rebbe Rav Huna, is a tikkun, is going to rectify any violation of the four avaks that were formulated in the Braisa and Avodah Zarah. Those avaks, each one of them, whether it be Shvius, whether it be Ribis, whether it be Avodah Zarah, whether it be Lashon Hara, each one has the potential to bring down man, to cause man's fall. So now, there's an avak that is clinging to the Megadim of the Talmidim, of these 800 students that listened carefully to the Shir of Rav Huna. When they got up from their study and they shook their Begadim, that avak reaches all the way up to Shamayim, it covers the Pnei HaShemesh. What's this all about? Why are the Bnei Eretz Yisrael so nispoil when they see this avak that covers the Shemesh? And the Mishnah says, having misavik bafarag leim. What does it mean, having misavik bafarag leim? The Maralmi Prague is famous for saying in his Sefer Nesivos Olam that when Shlomo HaMelech, the wisest of all men in Kohelet, says, Tov yelid miskein v'chacham mimelech zakein v'kasil. And Rashi quotes the Medrash, which the Maral embellishes. Rashi says, Tov yelid miskein v'chacham ze yetzah tov. Why is the yetzah tov called a yelid? Because the Eitz HaTov only enters into the body of a person at the age of 13. Misken, why is he called a misken? Because the body, the limbs of a person's body are not interested in listening to what the Eitz HaTov has to say. They'd rather hear what the Eitz HaRa has to say. But nevertheless, Tov Yelid Misken V'Chacham. He's a Chacham. He understands what is the right way to go. So he's very late in coming, the age of 13. He's much of a miskain because the body doesn't really want to listen to the Eitz HaTov, but the Eitz HaTov understands b'chokhmah where the person has to get to. And that Eitz HaTov is greater than Melech Zakein Uksil. Melech is the Eitz HaHara. The Eitz HaHara is the king over all the Eivarim of a person. He's a Zaken because he's been there 13 years before the Eitz HaTov. Lepetach Hatas Roves. But ultimately, his goal is a Ksil. He wants to take man off the right path and onto the wrong path. Says the Maralmi Prague, that the reason why the Eitz HaTov is called a Chacham as opposed to the Eitz HaHara, which is called Melech Zaken Uksil, he says the following, whereas the Yetzer Hara says, live for the moment, enjoy this second in time. The Eitz HaTov says, look towards the future. That's the Chochmah of the Yetzer HaTov. Ezu Chacham HaRoes HaNolad. Chochmah means to see down the line. You can sit now and you can enjoy life and all its pleasures, but down the line, sofo litein din v'cheshbon, and therefore, don't involve yourself with sin. Chachma means haroes hanolad. The Yetzahara seduces a person, turns on the flames of his Yetzer and his Tyrus, violate Averis, and enjoy the moment. And the Yetzer Tov doesn't have that power of pitui, of the Eitz HaRa, but what he does have is chachmah. And he can say, okay, the Eitz HaRa wants to take you with your taivas to fill all your pleasures, but it's all nothing. It's all worthless. It's momentary pleasure. Fleeting. But it has no eternal significance. HaChacham Roes HaNolad. The Eitz HaTov sees the Nolad. Open up your eyes. Realize what's significant. What's eternal. From all the Hevle Olam Hazeh and all the Taivas, nothing is going to be left at the end of the day. All that's going to be left is Din V'Cheshbon, in which man is taken to task for his actions. As Akiva, Akavi ben Amalal says, "Lifnei miyata osid lite din v'cheshben." That's the chokhma of the Yetzer Tov. Says the Maral, there's something called a melech zaken, an exil. That's the Yetzer Hara. Why is he called a melech zaken exil? He says because the zaken afshenu chacham lios roes hanolim mikomakom. Mipnei shara lefan of meisim harbe bishul kach yodea sheimu osaken. Kamo sha osu also rishayim shalafanov. Yikrelo gam kemosha karoli oso shara. In other words, the Yetzer Hara is a person of experience. He's called a zaken. Zaken means even if he's not a chacham, he's not interested in the future, but he does have an element of zikna, of experience. So who are the rishayim? The rishayim are those who care for the now and the immediate pleasure, and the Yetzer HaTov, the Tzaddikim, are those who are chachamim and see what's going to happen down the line. The summary of this long presentation of the Maharal you'll find on the left column of page 3, the paragraph that starts in Tzeinu Lemeidim. Here's the chiddush of the Maharal Miprag. The shorish, the root of the battle between the Yetzer HaTov and the Yetzer Hara is that the Yetzer HaTov is called a chacham, and he tells man and warns man with his chachma not to be seduced by the beautiful alluring moment and fleeting pleasures which are worthless. They have no long-term significance. They're here and gone. But rather look towards the future as a chacham or a sanolad. There will be a din v'cheshman. There will be judgment. The Yetzirah is a melech zaken uksil, and he puts a person into the situation of ruach shtus that kind of pushes away the ruach of chachma. Don't look at the future. Just look at the present. That's all that's all the significant. And this is what the Pasuk in Hazinu means. Ki goy oved eitzos eimah. V'ein behem tfuna. Lu chachma yaskilu zos. Yavinu lachrisam. Chachma is yavinu lachrisam. The shorish of chet is they're not listening to the eitzah, the guidance of the eitzah tov, who's called a chacham. Lizbone bachrisam. Yavinu lachrisam. That's the chachmuz roes anolad. They're not interested in that. They're only interested in the present. So the Gemara says in Sota that a person is a Shota when he sins. Ain on him over a verilim came nichlas of ruach shtus, meaning he doesn't have ruach chachma, he doesn't have kedusha, he doesn't have the ruach hanolad. He's interested in the immediate moment, and therefore he's nichlas bo ruach shtus. So now, how do we succeed in the battle against the Yetzer Hara? Says the Mishnah in Mavos, Yehi Beischa Beisvad Chachamim, Hevi Misavik Bafar Aglehem. What does it mean, Yehi Beischa Beis Chachamim, Vad L'Chachamim? Chachma, Chachma is Haroes HaNolad, Chachma is Haroes HaNolad. Ushmartim is Mishmarti, the Gemara says, Asu Mishmeres L'Mishmarti. Make sure that you stay far away from the allurements of the Yetzer Hara. Because once you start getting close, if you're not going to set up a mishmeres to keep far away, then ultimately the Yetzer Hara will catch you in his net of mitzvos kalos. Stay away. And therefore, the Tana continues and tells us, having misavek b'fara glim, you want to learn how the avak, that's ola, is successful. The answer is that avak is the avak of doshim viraglehem, of those mitzvos that seem to be insignificant, and a person crushes them with his heels and sends the avak up. Having misavik b'faraglehem, be very careful about the avak. Learn from the Chachamim, the Chachma, that if the Yetzer Hara tries to start you on a negative spiraling trip, by telling you to violate the Averos Kalos of the Avak, hold on to the Avak of Afar Aglehem, the Avak that's going to tell you that every single mitzvah is significant, even if it looks insignificant. Don't violate the avak. Don't get caught up in those arba avakos of the Tosefta. Because if you start with the avak, then ultimately you'll violate more serious and more severe violations, and you'll lose it all. Yibescha, there are four types of avak, and the bias represents these four types of avak. Yibescha, beisvad lechachamim, learn about the avak of the chachamim, which means those who see the future, those who have a clear perspective on what your priorities in life are, those who want to prepare you for eternity, having misavik b'faraglam, get involved in their avak, wallow in their dust, because their dust is going to teach you the significance of all the avak mitzvos, and to avoid asu b'shmes shmarti, any avak of any isur, is b'chachma yivne bayis, build yourself b'chachma, the bayis that will be a base vad l'chachamim, and then you will learn how to be careful in all types and all categories of avak. That's going to give you the strength. And now we come back to the Gemara Ksubis and the Talmidim of Rav Huna. When the Talmidim of Rav Huna finished their study, they stood up, they shook off their clothing, and there was an avak that went all the way up to Shamayim, and it covered the sun. What is the deeper meaning? Shekama Talmidim im Koman, v'niru es bigdeim in avak shedovak behem b'shosh yoshvu aleim al oretz, ola avak ad l'shamayim v'kisas or ha-shemesh. This is a remez that when the Talmidim stood up for the shir of Rav Huna, they fulfilled having misavik b'faragleim. They were elevated and inspired to such an extent that they would be careful even with the four categories of avak. They would be able to shove off and shake off all this avak of those averos kalos. And therefore, the Gemara says, Havisolik avka v'kisa es le yimama. The avak rose all the way to the kisa akova, and it covered the sun. Yaakov Avinu was the first who generated this kind of avak in his battle, in his mavak against Sarah Shal Esav. He raised the avak all the way to the Kisiat Kavod. He wanted to give Klal Yisrael the schus that they would follow and be dedicated and adhere to even the avak, even the mitzvos kalo shodim dosh bakevav. This is the tshuva. This is the rectification and the repentance that has to reach all the way up to the Kisei HaKavod. We have to be dedicated even to those mitzvahs. And the Mela, we come back to the concept of the Megala Mukos that we began with. Vayivaser Yaakov Levado Vayovek Ishimo, Rashi says, Soro Shel Esav. Inyan Melchama Azos, what is this battle between Yaakov and Esav? Soro Shel Esav v'Yetzer Hara. This is the Melchama of the Yetzer Hara, who's trying to be Machti as a Adam, to bring man down. Vayovek means Mipnei Shlohoi Yochel Achtio Bavera Atzma. The Yetzer Hara knew very clearly, and he was smart enough to understand that he wouldn't be able to trip up in Israel with the Avera itself, the Guf Avera, but rather with Avak, Avak Lashon Hara, Avak Shvius, etc., etc. So when the Gemara says in Chul that we began with it, Helu Avak Ad Kisei HaKavod, it's like Tshuva that Magas Ad Kisei HaKavod. We have to have a dedication to that kind of Tshuva of a Tikkun to such an extent that our tshuva will reach all the way up to the Kisei HaKavod. What is on the Kisei HaKavod? So the Gemara says in Chulin, Dmus Yaakov Avinu Chakuka BeKisei HaKavod. It's Yaakov Avinu whose dmus is engraved on the Kisei HaKavod. He's the one who succeeded in this battle and reached all the way up to the Kisei HaKavod. And if this be the case, then let's understand why the Bnei Eretz Yisrael, when they saw the Avak that was Olah for the 800 Talmidim of Rav Huna and Bavel, why they were so mesmerized and so inspired. In Eretz Yisrael, the Mesoras HaTorah was passed on, transmitted from one generation to the next. The Mishnah starts in Pirkei Avos, Moshe Kibbel Torah Misinai, Mesor LeYeshua, Yeshua Zkenim, Zkenim Levim, Levim LeAnshei Knesset HaGdol. Those who remained in Eretz Yisrael had the Mesorah, they had the transmission of Torah in their hands from one generation to the other, even after the Churban HaBayis, because they remained in Eretz Yisrael. But so many of the Jews went into Golus, into exile, and they found themselves in Babel. In Babel, there was no Mesoras, and therefore they were in a place of Sakana, because without a Mesorah, then you are vulnerable to all sorts of influences. But nevertheless, they in Babel were Zoche to be Mekayim what Shlomo Melech says in Shir HaShirim, Lo teili lach hayofa manoshim tzi'ilach bikfei atzon. And Rashi says, this is the answer to the Roa. Im lo teili lach lehechon telchi liros tzoncha at hayofa manoshim shechado lo aroa milahan higoscha tzi'ilach bikfei atzon. The Bnei Eretz Yisrael, when they saw the Avak that rose from the 800 Talmidim of Hun in Bavel, they were misspoiled. They said, Kumu, Kamulei Mesifta Rav Huna Bevloi. The Talmidim got up in the Mesifta of Rav Huna. What does it mean they stood up? They were Nisalu, they were uplifted to a higher level because of the Torah that they received from Rav Huna. They were able to now shake off the Avak of those Averos that would come and influence in them by the nations of the world and Bavel. And why is this? Because they were Makayim, the dictum of the Mishnah, being Misavek Bafaragleihem. They were Mavatel, all types of Avak, because they were dedicated to the Torah of Rav Huna. And therefore, Veyovek Ish Imo, Melamed Shehelu Avak Mimargolosam Ad Kisei HaKavod. It means that there was a tremendous battle. A battle between Sora Shel Esav, who wanted to be Mekatrig on Yisrael. They're not clear, they're not dedicated and careful with regard to the four categories of Avak. They're not careful about Mitzvah's Kalos, Sha'onav Doshbe Akiva. And against the Sora Shel Esav is Yaakov Avinu, who says, you know what? I am going to set up an Avak that's going to be a Tikkun. The Avak of Lomi Torah, who misavik b'faragleim shel chachamim, the chachamim who are roim es hanolad, like the Talmidim of Rav Huna, that's the Avak that's ultimately going to be successful, that's going to reach ad l'shamayim. That's the transmission of Torah. That's the dedication to the chachamim that will bring us to the glorious success over all the Makatrigim and all the powers of the Yetzer Ra. Kei Yiratzon. Amen. Monty, shalom aleichem. Wow.
How are you?
Last time I saw you, you were in the basement of Clanton Park. You remember that?
That's right.
Yeah, we had some sort of a Skype share over there.
It was August, and then Yontif came, and I forgot about everything.
So. Okay, but it's great to see you. How's the mishpacha?
Thank you.
Sean, everybody's good? Avi, Rebecca, we missed them all.
Thank God. Yeah, everybody's good. You guys?
Yeah, my mother-in-law is not well, so she needs a refuah shleima, if you could have in mind. Dvorah Chana Basratza.
What is it?
Dvorah Chana Basratza.